Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all, by the way, with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Means everything. And you also have a great service department to back it all up. It really makes it one-stop vehicle shopping. They'll take care of inspections, oil changes, routine, other routine maintenance, you name it, and, of course, diagnostics. They can handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. All right, our play-by-play call of the day, a wild third period last night in Edmonton.
Instead it's Kane, but he mishandles, and Anderson throws it the length of the ice and scores! Rasmus Anderson slapped it from his own side of the blue line, and somehow it evaded Mike Smith, and we are tied!
Yamamoto, high slot, shot by Barry, save made, the rebound, score! Nugent Hopkins on the rebound, gives the Oilers the lead with 3.5 to go.
Bob Wershusen with the call last night on ESPN. Yes. And the Oilers are up 3-1 in the series. Anything you're bitter about?
Just losing Andy Weidel, that's all.
Look, all you got to do is listen to WIP. They got a whole bunch of people on there that are personnel experts.
You got that right.
I'm talking about the callers.
Oh.
I'm talking about the callers. Your people. They're your people.
I listen to the other station.
Also down there is them. All right, let's go to Scranton now. Scranton Times Tribune, our good friend Donnie Collins. Donnie, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Same here, Steve.
Donnie, it's interesting. The SEC is going through meetings right now, and they were throwing some ideas out there. They claim one of 40 about having their own tournament. When you heard that, what did you think?
That's typical. I mean, these guys are, you know, they think they're the best conference in the country. They may be. Who knows? I mean, I don't see them enough to. I think they lose enough games and cry about losing enough games that they get their way into some of these championships with one loss, two loss teams, and I can see them going out and having their own tournament and saying, hey, here we are. You know, this is where the best team is going to get decided. So it doesn't surprise me they're thinking about it. But I don't usually expect this stuff to go too far.
No, I think in the end, I think they might end up settling with 16 teams of having a 9-game conference schedule instead of 8. I think that's good for the game because I think more uniformity is needed. What do you think of that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the big benefit of what comes from something like this. I mean, the Big Ten went to 9 games. I love the Big Ten schedule. I know people like to see the. You lose these non-conference games at the rivalry. Oh, you don't get to play, Pitt or whatever. But I'd rather face the extra conference team because then you get a more true conference champion. I think more things could happen when you play that extra game. Yeah, I'd rather see the teams in the division. That's all sports to me. But I really thought that once Penn State went to that, or excuse me, once the Big Ten went to that 9-game schedule, I really thought that it was a much more accurate gauge of who the best team in the conference is on a yearly basis. Not because there's a big difference between 8 and 9 games, obviously, but because you're playing most of the conference. Are there drawbacks to it? Yes, but there's drawbacks to anything where you don't play everybody else in your conference. But I think the SEC playing 9 games, the Big Ten playing 9 games, I think that's a much more fair way to look at it. And especially the SEC. I mean, I'll listen to them a little bit more if their conference is really is as deep as they say, and it is. I think it is a deep conference. Then it would be to me more. It would be more telling to see who would come out of that, you know, and compete for a championship afterwards. I think it would be as earned as what Ohio State does and Michigan did last year.
Texas A&M is going into its 11th season in the Southeastern Conference.
No way.
Georgia has never played a game there.
That's my one thing with the SEC, and I think you'll agree, and I think everybody outside of the SEC agrees. You know, they do fix the schedule a little bit to make sure that the teams they think are going to be pretty good are going to be pretty good in November. The record's going to show that. I number one did not know Texas A&M had been in the conference 11 years. That shocks me. And but it doesn't surprise me as much that they haven't played Georgia. They don't want, you know, that's a game Georgia could possibly lose. They want to make sure that Georgia's protected a little bit there. They're very good at protecting their own down there. They're a lot better at it. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to go that far. But they're as good at it as the Big Ten is. Let's put it that way.
The SEC, of course, with its contract with ESPN, and that doesn't start now. It doesn't start for another year and a half, you know, or something like that. 2 years it starts. 2 years away. They've financially separated themselves. The Big Ten is very close to announcing in one form or another its new set of contracts. That will separate them financially. The ACC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12 are going to be left behind financially. I mean, Rutgers is going to get exponentially more TV money than USC. Think about that. At some point, should Kevin Warren sit down and talk one-on-one with Greg Sankey as the two most powerful conferences, especially financially, about what to do so it benefits everybody in the game?
The short answer is yes. I think you strike while the iron is hot. You do what you have to do when it has to be done. And if it's not Kevin Warren, somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to jump in there and say, you know, it's our turn. Whether it's the ACC or anybody. I mean, nobody's in position to do it right now like the Big Ten is.
Right.
But I think that, you know, it's not going to be perceived as the right thing to do, because it's going to be looked at as, hey, these two conferences are ganging up on everybody else, and they're going to get theirs before anyone else gets what they have coming to them. But I really think that at this point, the way the game is going, money-wise, it's a game of haves and have-nots anyway.
Yes.
The Big Ten has to do what's best for the Big Ten at this point, or else the Big Ten will be a conference falling behind. So, yeah, I definitely think that should happen. Whether it will, I'll believe that when I see it. But I think Kevin Warren, if he's going to be proactive, I'll tell you this, I think Delaney would have done it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question that Jim Delaney would have been on that, but Kevin Warren's been a little different than I've expected. So I think he should. Will he? I don't know. And what comes of it if he does? Who knows? But I think it's good for the game overall if they do that. But the Big Ten's got to get what the Big Ten has coming to it if that's the case.
We've talked often about name, image, and likeness. Every state has its own laws, regulations, and so forth. When you look at the current state of name, image, and likeness almost 11 months in, what do you think?
It's chaos. It's free agency to a degree. Now, name, image, likeness at its best. Now, I had the good fortune of talking to LeVar Arrington yesterday at an event near Scranton, and we talked a little bit about name, image, likeness. And he's been doing a little bit of this kind of work, for a lot longer than the laws have been in place. But he basically says, hey, it's a good thing because these kids now control beyond college what they're, I forget exactly how he put it, but he basically said, you're controlling your own image. You're your own product. You're your own brand at this point. And I think everybody kind of gets that. But I think at the heart of it, that's what this does. I mean, it allows a good guy who just a guy like Sean Clifford, who does everything right on in the classroom, on the field, all of that sort of stuff. It allows that kind of person to make some money and do some things that they're going to better himself, not just in college, but long term. Now, is it going to lead USC to go and get Jordan Addison? Yes, and I think that's where people didn't want it to go. But it shouldn't be surprising to anybody that that's where it went because that's where the game goes. It's a competitive game. There's a lot of money on the line, and you just mentioned it. USC isn't getting this big TV money. Mm-hmm. Rutgers is going to get. I think that's nothing is surprising. I think that it went the way that I expected it would. I thought it would be like a Major League Baseball kind of free agent feeding frenzy, and people getting what they could get because they've never gotten it before. And that's happened, but it's still to a degree surprising, shocking, all of that to see it happen so quickly in college football, where you were basically signing a lifelong contract with your school, on signing day, and that's just not the case anymore. And I'm not sure someone like me who's been around for who's been following this for decades now is ever going to get quite used to that. And it's not going to see. We're going to see some things that we never thought possible. Still, but is it good for the kids? Yeah, I think it's really good for the kids. And there's not one player. I asked LeVar yesterday. There's not one player who ever played under the old system who wouldn't want it this way. This is so beneficial to the mm-hmm. to the kids, and so I don't want to say detrimental to the programs, but it's something that these guys all have to adjust to. You're seeing people who've had complete control over players they've landed now kind of have to adjust on the fly and do some things and kind of see how the system could work for them. So it's going to be very interesting. We haven't seen this is just the very beginning of this. So I think it's going to be more surprising as we go along what we see. But yeah, it's going to be. If you think this offseason was bad, wait till next one.
Do you think in a period of time this quote settles down, or it settles down and settles in?
I think it settles to a point where we're used to it, and what I mean by that is you're going to get to a point where if you bring in a four-star quarterback and he doesn't start in 2 years, you're expecting him to leave at that point. But right now, I think the shock of that is still pretty big among alumni and fans of these programs. And I'm sure at Pitt, they're going to say, hey, look, they just came in and fleeced us out of a player, and that's going to happen a lot. And how do you get used to that? Well, I mean, I'm sure Pitt's going to get their share of players, and just like Penn State's getting their share of players out of the portal, and things of that nature. I think we're going to get used to it. I don't know if it's going to settle down. I don't know if it's going to slow down. I don't know if they're going to figure out a way to keep a player who doesn't think he's getting his opportunity at Penn State from going to Notre Dame or vice versa. But I think we're going to get to a point where fans and coaches and administrators and the media all are just kind of expect that stuff is going to happen and that it's going to be commonplace. I can't think of a plan or a system that's going to prevent this. I just don't see that happening. I know they're going to try, but you don't give back something you get. When you have everything and you used to have nothing, you don't give that up.
Exactly. When you look at, I think what Nick Saban, just my opinion from 30,000 feet, I think what he was trying to do, and he used the wrong verbiage to do it, but I think he was trying to implore his Alabama fan base to, like, hey, guys, you got to get involved in, quote, the collective to do this. I think that's what he was trying to do. It just didn't come out. I think, you know, you can't sit there and say Texas A&M bought all their players. That's not the way to say it. that certainly plays with it. That raises eyebrows.
I think you're right. Yeah, I don't think he didn't say. I think what he meant to say is what James said all last year.
Yes.
we have to figure out here at Penn State how we make inroads into this and take advantage of what we can offer and do a better job through fundraising, alumni, donors, whatever, of having a way to make sure players who want to stay here can do it. And I think that's what Nick Saban said. It might be a little bit of a right message, wrong guy kind of thing, too.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But you can't say some of the stuff he said, but I think that's really what he means. I think the danger at Alabama when you have something like this happen is complacency. That's the only thing that can really kill Alabama at this point. And maybe he obviously knows the financial situation there way better than I do, but maybe he sees that setting in. Maybe there is some complacency with donors, with the alumni base, the fans. I don't know, but I could definitely see that being where what happened here and why he said what he said. But yeah, it's not something you could say. You have to have the receipts if you say that, and you also can't be. You also can't have the opposing coach come back and say, I know you do this, the exact same thing, and those kind of words.
Yeah, Jimbo, to his credit, took a debate and turned it into an argument because of emotion.
Yes. that was the wrong guy to kind of say that about and think that nothing was going to come back on him. Yeah, I totally agree that was. And I love the Lane Kiffin comment. That should have been on pay-per-view. I think a lot of college football fans thought that.
Oh, my God. Me as the SEC banned him from doing national radio. Like, what? Really?
Yeah, they're different down there.
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll solve the problem.
Oh, yeah. No, in fact, you know what? Lane's never going to talk again. Never. No. Hoover, Alabama's going to be a blast in July. All right. Hey, Donnie, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much, Steve.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune, and as a footnote, Hoover, Alabama will be a blast in July. Why did I say that? The SEC media days are in July in Hoover, Alabama. That's why I referenced it.
I feel like we need our buddy Trey Bauer on this discussion now.
All the stuff that was illegal before is currently legal at this hour. So it's interesting. By the way, the Raiders are going to host Colin Kaepernick for a workout. So he is scheduled to work out this week for the Raiders. It'll be his first workout with an NFL team since he became a free agent. So. Hey, look, he played at the University of Nevada up in Reno, so we'll see how it goes. I mean, they picked up Jared Stidham from the Patriots. They also have Nick Mullins. Kaepernick's now 34. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with it. It says Kaepernick hasn't played as Bill Mark Kaepernick's first workout, Adam Schefter writes, since being exiled. He became a free agent. Nobody picked him up. Exiled? Could be. Yeah. Blackballed? Could be. Yeah. Or a lot of people are looking around going, we don't want him. That could be, too. You know. So, we will see. But that's the Kaepernick story. By the way, Phillies and Braves tonight. How about Bryce Harper and Kenley Jansen? Harper's now 5-for-11 against Jansen in his career. Very impressive. Very impressive. Pirates beat Colorado 10-5 today.
Oh, my almighty!
And then Celtics and Heat tonight at 8:30. A series that Matt hates. He hates the series.
Oh, yeah. This series is just absolutely awful.
The games aren't close.
It is awful, awful basketball.
I mean, games aren't close.
And it doesn't help that it involves two teams I despise, but that's beside the point.
Okay, back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a great service department to back it all up. Inspections, routine, diagnostics, they handle it all. It's one-stop vehicle shopping, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. All right, by the way, a few of our guests that we have coming up. The Penn State softball team had a 25-game win-level approval this year. They improved so much from 7 wins to 32. Coach Clarissa Crowell is going to join us. Chris Carlin, voice of Rutgers football and also on ESPN, will join us. We're going to get Jeff Byers back on the show. Several wrestlers are going for U.S. spots. John Crispin, Joe Crispin, Tyler Smith next week before Coaches versus Cancer. John Orrand. We're going to talk about the Big Ten TV contracts with him next week. Mike Poorman, Neil Coulon. Scott Sidwell from the athletic department is going to join us next week. And coming up on Friday, we're going to have John Hara on the show. You done writing all these down? Or? No?
You got more to give, Steve Jones.
I'm giving as much as I can. I'm trying to get more out of other people, John. The Pittsburgh Steelers, by the way, do not play a single game out of the Eastern Time Zone this year. How about that? The Eagles, by the way, are 23rd in total miles traveled for the upcoming season. They're doing everything they can to make it easy for Philadelphia. Easy schedule, no travel. Unfortunately, they're forced under the rules to travel to Dallas, but that's it.
Yeah, it's fine.
I just would like to see them challenged a bit. You know, if they can go from C to C plus at quarterback, they'll be good.
Well, they do have to go to Arizona this year.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, their quarterback's not even showing up at OTAs.
Oh, yeah, I still think it's a winnable game, but they do have to make the trip out there.
The Brooklyn Nets are unwilling to give Kyrie Irving a long-term contract extension. Per the New York Daily News, the Nets' championship hopes hinge on an amicable solution with Irving, whose personal decision not to get vaccinated and unpredictable injury history have left the Nets hesitant, and now, according to a source familiar with the Nets' thought process, outright unwilling to give him a long-term extension.
You, sir, are my hero!
Good.
This is screaming the Sixers. It's screaming the Sixers.
If they do, I will personally go down to the Sixers practice facility in Camden and slap Daryl Morey.
It's screaming the Sixers.
No.
I always look at the desperate organizations. First one I thought of, Philadelphia.
I would rather have 10 James Hardens than deal with Kyrie Irving. Absolutely, positively, no. Please, for the love of God, no. He is the definition of a goof.
Well, that's not the word I heard from a friend of mine.
Well, I can use other words, too, and I know what that is, but I can't say it on the air.
Who is strongly and deeply associated with the Celtics, and I don't mean Micah. I'm talking about somebody else. All right. And he said, Steve, I told Danny Ainge, he says, he's a cancer. I said, really? Right? And then Ainge was like, no. And then halfway through the season, Ainge came over to my friend and said, I think I see some things you're saying.
Yeah.
Now, the Daniel Snyder situation, he is not the only owner that's got the NFL looking around going, what the heck? The Rams moved from St. Louis to Los Angeles. Now, we all know it wasn't cheap. Stan Kroenke had agreed to pay all the legal costs for relocation. By the time the Rams and the NFL reached a settlement with the city of St. Louis, the cost of the lawsuit ended up being $790 million. Now, that's not the problem of the Eagles, Giants, Cowboys, Cardinals, Packers. Nope. Since Kroenke said those costs were covered, but the owner soon changed his tune. Kroenke attempted to back out of paying, saying he agreed to pay for the legal fees, not the settlement. According to a report by The Athletic's Daniel Kaplan, the league has quietly taken $7.5 million from each team for a total of $232.5 million. There's no word yet on whether the teams will get the money back if Kroenke ends up paying the cost himself. Owners went into the move believing no money would be taken from their teams and ended up with millions gone. The situation has caused budgeting issues for teams because they're not sure whether or not they're going to get the money back. While I do appreciate the fact that Kroenke put a team into the number two TV market, which had been vacant and, let's face it, used as a chip to get stadiums all across the league, and it was used as a chip over and over again. He did put a team, and it turns out a really good one, into the number two TV market, which then, of course, brought a Super Bowl to the number two TV market and was showcased last February. But to look at the rest of the teams in the league to pay for your relocation, hey, look, that's your decision as an owner. Yes, does it benefit the league that you have put a team into the number two market? Sure. But this is not a poor individual. Stan Kroenke's worth $7-8 billion. His wife Ann Walton is worth between $4-5 billion. I'm sorry, you made the move for $790 million. Pay it. That'd be my attitude, not our issue. the Eagles are lucky they got Jalen Hurts so cheap. I mean, that's $7.5 million, they can't afford him.
I'm surprised that no other owners, outspoken owners, like a Jerry Jones, like a Robert Kraft.
Well, this
we didn't
this,
hear from
this,
them about okay, this now.
This has been going on. I just haven't talked about it, so I've known about it going on. I kept looking and saying, you can't possibly do that, can you? I mean, I do realize that the league and the ownership does have a benefit by having a team in Los Angeles, and it probably benefited everybody in the TV deal that, you know, that you have two teams in Los Angeles, which means, you know, you're always going to have a game involving LA on TV out there in that market. Okay. So that I understand. But I realize that one of the reasons that these people have the wealth they have is that they do have the ability to work deals such as these, where they're not culpable. How about that? And you know, there's a reason he's worth, I think his net worth is, I think it's 7 to 8 billion, I think. He's one of the richest guys going here. Let me see here. Kroenke Sports and Entertainment, holding of Arsenal. He owns Arsenal, which we knew. He owns the Rams, the Nuggets, Colorado Avalanche, the Colorado Rapids, Colorado Mammoth of the Lacrosse League, the Los Angeles Gladiators of the Overwatch League. I have no idea who they are. The Nuggets and Avalanche, technically Ann Walton Kroenke, is technically the owner. And she, by the way, is the daughter of Walmart co-founder Bud Walton. Okay, here it goes. Kroenke was estimated to have a net worth of $10 billion in 2020. Okay? So he's worth $10 billion. She, on the other hand, her net worth as of January 2022, according to Forbes, which is often read by people in our station. And I mentioned Forbes once to the suit, and he thought he played right wing for the Avalanche.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells foul.
She's worth $9.1 billion. How about that? So between the two of them, they're worth $19.1 billion. Well, guess what? $790 million in settlement? No offense. I mean, I realize they don't have $10 billion sitting there. When they talk about net worth, it's, you know, everything that they own comes to that. I mean, the Nuggets are worth X amount. The Avalanche are worth X amount. The Rams are worth X amount. And so forth. And, you know, and again, Ann Walton Kroenke is technically the owner of the Nuggets and the Avalanche. So technically, she's Calvin Booth's boss. But I mean, you know, it's one thing to have Daniel Snyder allegedly. Shortchanged other NFL owners. And it's alleged. It's another thing to have a family household with a net worth of $19.1 billion. Look at the city of St. Louis and go, hey, we're going to ask the other teams to do this stuff. What? Kroenke Sports and Entertainment owns Ball Arena in Denver. That's where the Nuggets and Avalanche play, also the Mammoth. He co-owns Dick's Sporting Goods Park in Commerce City, home of the Rapids. Both venues were shockingly built by his development company. He launched his own competitor, Fox Sports Network's Rocky Mountain, known as AT&T Sportsnet Rocky Mountain, which shockingly is the official broadcaster for both of Kroenke's teams. 2000 became the full owner of the Nuggets and the Avs. And then, of course, there's the Rams. So, oh well. Amazing. $19.1 billion. They can't find the cash to look at the NFL and say, hey, look, it was our move.
No good! No good! No good!
Well, I'll tell you, the last time I saw anybody struggle like that with cash was when, you know, when Matt looked at the suit and said, hey, can I have 50 cents for a soda in the machine?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I mean, the only guy I ever saw in my life that, like, looked around and just, like, you know, and he opened his wallet and a moth flew out. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, Penn State Auburn will be kicking off at 3:30 on CBS when Penn State goes down to the Plains in September. Doug Birdsong, by the way, wanted everybody to know that our nickname for the suit is Fitty, because he barely can come up with 50 cents. We call him Fitty. Acts like it's a gigantic loan. In fact, what bothered me is that when Matt wanted to borrow the 50 cents for the machine, the suit said he'd do it, but at 20%.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells foul duck.
He's charging interest. Matt's response was not that thirsty.
You think that's bad? We got to worry about the Chick-fil-A trips.
Oh.
Thank goodness he's got his card.
Yeah. His card. By the way, one quick note. I mentioned John O'Rourke's going to be on. If I'm involved in the Big Ten TV negotiations, let me tell you one thing I would really harp on hard and would want in the contract. No 6-day windows. Our fans are worth much more than that. Right? 12 days? You can figure out 12 days ahead what's a good game and what's not, what's an important game, what's not. You can figure it out right away. You don't need a 6-day window. That's unfair to the fans. It's the only sport where this happens. It's the only sport where this happens. And I think it's you know, you're at the point now, you're in a power position. You have people bidding for you. They are bidding for you. I mean, and they're fighting tooth and nail to get your product. You're not asking much in return, except for the dollars. And I'd look at them and I'd say, guys, you can take it, but no 6-day windows. Okay? We have to have respect for our fans, too. Now, will they do it? No. No, they won't do it. But it's something I would demand. Because you, the fans, are worth exponentially more than that. No other sport does that. I mean, who changes their start time 6 days out 3 times a year in a short season? Cut me a break. Nobody does. But college football lets them do it, and it's wrong. It's wrong. And the Big Ten should take a stand.